If you would, please turn your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis, the fourth chapter. I want to wish you, as has already been done, all of you fathers a happy Father's Day. And it seems an appropriate day to think some about maybe some Bible lessons drawn from the scriptures about fathers. And because it covers more history than all the rest of the Bible combined, the book of Genesis affords us an opportunity to observe in one book the working of influences throughout many generations. In other words, we can read about stories of the scriptures unfold, we can read some about men who were fathers and the kind of influences that they exerted upon their children, and the results of those influences. And so I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about the fathers of Genesis, and consider some lessons that we might draw from their lives. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16 picks up the story about a man who would become a father, a man by the name of Cain. The preceding verses, of course, had told about Cain's bitter jealousy and hatred of his brother Abel, and how he murdered him, and how God dealt with Cain based upon his actions. And then verse 16 picks the story up and really only tells it in kind of thumbnail sketches of what happened to Cain afterwards, and what happened to his family. We see a description of the fatherhood of Cain and the results of choices that he made as a father, and lessons that I think would be helpful to those who are fathers today or who may one day become fathers. Verse 16 says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch, after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mahujael, and Mahujael became the father of Methushael, and Methushael became the father of Lamech. And Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. As for Zillah, she gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, "Listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold." Well, obviously, this is a bit of a tracing of a family, the family line of Cain. It traces the events, the accomplishments, and some of the failures of these people. And does so by focusing mainly, of course, upon the fathers in this family line. Cain, of course, was the one who chose to make his way without God. Verse 16 talks about he went out from the presence of the Lord, which seems to me to be descriptive of the relationship that existed between himself and the Lord. He settled in the land of Nod, which means the land of wandering. So, this is descriptive probably of what he did literally in wandering in the land. But also, he's wandering spiritually. He has gone out from the presence of the Lord. And I think we ought to take careful notice of that phrase. Those who are fathers need to take careful notice of the fact that they can go out from the presence of the Lord and it will have an effect upon the lives of those that come after them. To make progress, it seems to me, is described in these verses, that as we see human culture developing and human society progressing, we see just that. We see the indications. But to make progress without God is like the man who I've told you about before who climbed the ladder of success only to discover that it was leaning against the wrong wall. And making progress. There's no question that society, human society, was making some progress in the verses that we've read. To make progress, however, to do it without God is really futile. I love the question I heard asked here the other day. So is it progress if you get a cannibal to use a knife and a fork? Well, some people would say yes. Some people would say, that's an achievement. And, to make progress without God, is it really in your life? Is that really making progress? Progress without God, I submit to you, really leads nowhere. In these verses that we've read, verses 16 through 24, we see in Cain's descendants, the world is caught up in, I think, what we could rightly call the world's system. It is developing. It is developing a system. But it is a system that is without God. So I want you to think with me for a few moments about the significance of this, about the illusion of progress. Because I'm not persuaded that that people today have really arrived at a point where they think that progress without God is illusionary. I think people probably still today are impressed, as people were back in these days, with their accomplishments. I mean, think for a few moments about what these verses we've read indicate to us was happening over many years now. But under the influence of fathers in each generation that arose. Yeah, well, obviously you have population growth. And as the population grows and the numbers of people increase, it becomes impressive in the minds of many people. Families develop, as we read in these verses. You have Cain with first having his children, and then the children of Cain, and then just on down the line. Obviously, you've got families that are developing as time goes along. Cities are created. By the way, I'm not persuaded that we ought to think, when we read about this, in terms of large metropolitan kinds of areas, or even large cities of significance that we read about in the scriptures later on, as more time passes, and cities grow. They grow in size and in significance, but probably these are pretty small in their size. But nonetheless, they are there. They are cities that are that are taking root. Domesticated livestock is developed. Music is, as we've read, is developed as well. And of course, many people would look at that as being an indicator of the progress of society in general. The use of bronze and iron is of course acknowledged historically as being a great development in human history. And you see still again the idea of there being progress. Everything looks like it's progressing. Everything looks as though it is moving forward. And in fact, what appears to be progress can actually turn out to be a nightmare when it is achieved without God. Verses 23 and 24, we read of a man named Lamech, a man who became like his forebearer Cain, a killer of human beings. He killed a man who had wounded him, and a boy who had struck him. He killed as well. He's a brazen murderer. That's not progress. Cities can become something of a hopeless jungle of poverty and violence. And as we read through the scriptures, we see the debilitating kind of influence that is exerted by people who lived in cities. You know, you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, and other places as well. Culture may appear to be developing. As these fathers exert their influence upon their generations, it may look as though they are leading and guiding in a way that is improving the society. But then, as you look further, music and literature, our day and time, you know, certainly could add films and things of that nature. They can become ways to glorify filth. And they have indeed become just exactly that. The problem isn't that culture and technology and advances in such that generations make is wrong in some way. That's not the problem. The problem is when things are done apart from God. You see, the problem for this line of fathers in Genesis chapter 4 began back there with Cain. When Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he became the kind of fatherly influence that he was over his children and influenced them to be the kinds of fatherly influences that they were over their children. That's where the problem originated. And so I would suggest to you, those of you that are fathers this day, or those of you that will become fathers one day, that you give some very serious thought to how your life could be summed up in a little thumbnail sketch like is done for Cain. That you went out from the presence of the Lord, or that you remained in the presence of the Lord and exerted a good and godly influence upon your loved ones. What Cain did and those after him did was to commit a spiritual and moral failure. And that failure came about as a result of three things. It came about as a result of the defiance of God. You think about Cain, first of all, in this list of names. You think about Cain and his defiance of the Lord in the killing of his brother Abel. Over in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 49, we find that the psalmist has something to say there about those who live without God, like Cain chose to do. Psalms 49, and verses 11 and 12. Listen to what he has to say. He says, their inner thought is that this is so appropriate. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names. But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. Boy, what, as I say, how appropriate. What, how accurate that's exactly what people do. That's exactly what people who go out from the presence of God. That's exactly what they do. We think of ourselves as lasting forever, and the works of our hands, the things that we have that we have created, the progress that we have made in society. All of this is going to be enduring. People are going to remember us forever. Our name is going to go down in history. The psalmist says, no, that man will not endure. Such a man as this is the point. But man in his pomp will not endure. He's like the beasts that perish. Well, we need to be careful, fathers, that we don't come to the point of being defiant of God. I'll tell you another thing that this list of fathers teaches us about being on guard against, and that's pride. I think we could say again of Cain, but not just of him, but of several in this list, that they wanted God to accept them on their basis. Pride is kind of like a snowball, you know. It goes downhill, it builds up momentum, it becomes larger, it becomes more significant. Lamech, for instance, sinned and may have been doing so boastfully in the words that we read there in verses 23 and 24. It's a little hard to tell, but some suggest that he was speaking boastfully there. He knows of God, but yet he sets himself against God in his pride. The third thing that I would suggest to you we should be careful about is sensuality. As sensuality seems to have impacted these men that we read about here in Genesis 4. Lamech, again, took two wives. This is the introduction of polygamy into human history. For hundreds of years up to this point in time, there had been one man and one wife. But Lamech introduced the practice of a man having more than one wife. And while God certainly tolerated that for a period of time, it's clear that it was not his original design for the relationship between men and women. And he makes that clear through his son and through the teaching of his son. We cast off God's plan for moral purity and for marriage and for family at our own risk. And we may do it under the banner of progress. We may say, oh, but look at how we have progressed, you know, beyond those moral dictates of Victorianism. Look at how far we've come. Look at how sophisticated we are now about people that we will and practices that we will condone. But if we made those progressions without God, if we've done it by going out of the presence of God, it will be disastrous. The story that we read here about these fathers and the influences that they had upon their generations and those that followed them, it could be a pretty depressing read here. But I stopped reading at verse 24. And I would have you, as we conclude this morning, to read verses 25 and 26 with me, where we're told that Adam had relations, so it backs up a little bit here. Adam had relations with his wife again. She gave birth to a son and named him Seth, for she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called him Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. As I say, there's a much more hopeful end to this quick little listing of fathers and generations of fathers. As this tells the story, verses 25 and 26, of what is true progress. The scriptures say, as we've read, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Under the influence of, it would appear, under the influence of Seth, and then followed by his son Enosh, there seems to be a turning within human society, or at least within a portion of it. There seems to be a turning to God. Compared with building cities and founding cultural enterprises and launching industries, calling on the name of the Lord doesn't seem like much progress. I mean, if you were going to look at a list of generational accomplishments in human history, you probably, or most people would probably say, well, the real accomplishments were made by these people that we read about in the first several verses. I would suggest to you that the real accomplishment, that which is lasting, that which we as fathers today ought to be striving to emulate is of beginning to turn to the Lord. Progress, true progress, is made with God. And it requires believing God's promises. I find it interesting, this description about the birth of Seth. You know, Eve could have become a very bitter person. She could have become a person who was very much against God, who had turned against God, who wanted nothing more to do with God, because, after all, she had lost her son. Abel had been taken from her. Rather than doing that, she remained, apparently, a woman of faith, and a woman of trust in God. God has appointed me, she says in verse 25, another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. You notice where she lays the blame? She says, Cain did that. And do you notice where she lays the credit for blessing her? She says, God did this. God has given me another offspring, another son. It seems to me that she stands out as a great example of one who in difficult circumstances remained faithful to God. You can't make true progress in life until you take God at His word and you follow His word. And that's exactly what she did. I'll just throw that in there to make the point that even though it's Father's Day, they're not the only ones who exert great influence, not just upon families, but certainly families foremost, but upon cultures as well. Men began to turn to God and to call upon the Lord. And I suspect it was in large part because of what Mother Eve did. But true progress with God also requires a knowledge that men are frail. It requires a knowledge of our own limitations. Seth's son, Enosh, his name means frail one. It means mortal. And instead of boasting like Lamech had done, here we see Seth acknowledging his weakness, the weakness of his son. When we become aware of our own limitations, then we can begin to really trust God completely and to call upon the Lord. When we become weak, as the Apostle Paul would say, when we become weak, then we are strong. And then finally, real progress, true progress with the Lord requires our dependency upon the Lord. Man began to call on the name of the Lord, began to call on Him as a personal, caring God, fully trusting Him. If you're not growing in that kind of dependence on the Lord, on the living God, you're not making progress. Not real progress. Now, I don't care how things may be going for you in your personal life. Your career may be taking off. Things may be doing great. You may be, you know, you remember the psalmist in Psalms 49 and the building of houses and cities and so forth. You may be involved in some great and significant projects. It may very well appear that you've got your hands in progress for our community, for our culture, for our society. But if you've gone out of the presence of the Lord, you're really making no progress at all. But if you would call upon the name of the Lord in your life, and you would develop that trusting, loving relationship with Him, in which your strength is not what you depend upon, but rather His strength. If you do that, then what I'm suggesting to you is that you'll make some real progress in your life, personally. And may I also say to you that in that relationship of a father, you'll make some real progress there as well. You'll be able to exert the kind of influence upon a generation that follows you that will produce real progress for them as well. Is it your desire to be someone like Seth? Or to be someone like Cain? Well, of course, the way you choose to live your life is really the determinant in that. And so, if you would choose to live your life in submission to God, seeking God's will, striving to serve God, then you can do that. And you can exert the kind of influence that that will produce on the lives of your sons and your daughters. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord this day, we pray you'd come to Him in obedience, and that you'd allow us to help you give that obedience to the gospel of Christ while we stand and sing together.